bit of an intro here before we actually get into the episode. So just stick with me. It's important information. At least I think so. That's why I'm recording this after all. So I have a confession to make. The confession is, I'm not really a very organized reader. Maybe you've been able to tell, maybe you haven't. I am not now, nor have I ever been, a person who picks up a book and reads it and just completely ignores all other books. Just single-mindedness. This is the book that I am reading. It's just not who I am. What I actually end up doing most of the time is I skip from book to book. Pick up this book because this one's interesting, and I read a little bit through that one, and then I jump over to this one because that one seems interesting, or my mood makes me want to go that direction. So I'm usually cycling through about 10 to 20 books at one time until eventually, through no purposeful action, I end up completing a book. For example, right now, I have one book next to my bed. I have 7 books on my coffee table. I have one book right here on my desk. I have 2 books and a magazine in the bathroom. And there's a probably horrifying number of unfinished books in my Scribd app, my Kindle app, and my iBooks app. I can't do it any other way. That's how I function. So as you can imagine, functioning like that and doing a show that focuses on one book at a time is not ideal. If you look at the last 2 episodes I did, there was a 30-day gap between those 2 episodes. And that's not because I wasn't reading things. It's because I didn't finish anything. That I was reading many, many things, but until I got to completion on one, to be able to do an episode, took 30 days. And I don't want to continue that way. Not only because it's not honest to my process, but also because it sometimes leads to long delays like this. I also don't want to continue to do it because, well, it's kind of boring. It's kind of predictable. You know, I have all this verbiage about this show that says this is the book club for people who hate book clubs. Yet I've set it up to functionally work like every other book podcast that's out there. So I'm going to shake things up. I'm going to try something. We're early in this show. It's a little experimentation. I'm going to try to do things the way that I read things. Then I'm going to come in here instead of trying to cover a whole book, which, I mean, even isn't that interesting. Like, I really loved that last book, Breath, by James Nestor. And I thought the episode was good and informative, but it also felt formulaic and it felt like a book summary. I don't want to do that. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to come in with parts of books and I'm going to jump from book to book. So instead of the episode being about Breath, maybe I could have done a section just about what I just recently read on sleep apnea. And then later had another episode that came up maybe after 3 or 4 other books I jumped into, or I talked about breathing through the nose. And I just think that's a lot more interesting for me. It's a lot more interesting for you. And I think it's better for the books themselves because I can focus on those one interesting sections instead of just kind of breezing past them because, you know, I have like this summary of the book that I want to get through in the episode. And I think it's also respectful to the author because here's a summary of the book. Well, I know I made a joke last time, like I'm not Cliff and these aren't my notes, but some people might do that. Like, oh, I listened to this 40-minute podcast about this book. Now I don't need to read it. Whereas if I just talk about one interesting part, I think it's more alluring for somebody to go pick the book up. And for people who are reading through the book, I'm not telling you the whole arc of the book and ruining it for you. Or if you haven't read it, I'm not ruining it for you. Or if you have read it, you don't have to try to remember the whole book. You can just try to remember that one section that we're talking about, or to think about it and go find the book and pick it up again. And I think in the long run, it's also going to mean more episodes. They might be shorter episodes because we're just focusing on one thing, but I won't feel that I have to complete the book and have this extensive outline of the book to do an episode. I can just come in with what I've recently read and talk about why it's interesting and what it means for me and make it more personal to me instead of just reiterating what's in the book. To take something I've read and talk about what I'm feeling or thinking about it. I think a lot of people do is I buy books, but then I don't read them until much later. I just keep accumulating books and then look at a book eventually on the shelf and go, oh, I bought that like 4 years ago. That looks interesting now. Looked interesting when I bought it, but then sometime after that, I got seduced by something else. This book that I started this week, which is Hyperbole and a Half by Ali Brosh. This is one of those books. It's been sitting on the shelf for so long, and I don't know why. It's a pretty unique book in the sense that it's a book that's essentially a collection of a web comic. And that's not an appropriate explanation of what this book really is. Because I think when she wrote this, I'm not sure I didn't read all of the web comic, but I think that she added some stuff on here when she put it into book form. But how I ended up with this book was I ran across one of the comics online, and it was dealing with depression. It was a two-part, it was kind of long blog comic is the best way to describe it. And it was dealing with depression, and it nailed so much of it. And it had humor to it. And I wanted to know more about this person. I looked up this person and found out that there was a book of it. So I bought the book and then didn't read it. So I picked it up. I picked it up today. Actually, I just read this a couple hours ago, the first section of it. And I have to say, two things I have to say about the book in the, how many pages have I read? 18 pages I've read so far. Number one, she's not kind of funny. She's hilarious. Ali Brosh is hilarious. I don't remember the last time that a book made me laugh this much. And I don't mean like laugh in my head. I mean belly laughs while I was laying on the bed, which because I wasn't in the best position actually hurt, yet I didn't move because I was so wrapped up in what I was reading that I kept laughing even though it hurt a little bit. So it laughed until it hurt. The other thing is when you pick up a book that has a visual component, you know, a strong illustration component or even like a comic of some sort or a graphic novel of some sort, you find typically that one path or the other is more important. The book is usually either more a written book that has an illustrated component that adds on to it, or it's a visual book that has some written stuff to help with the scaffolding. This book is absolutely in the middle. Both parts are necessary. What I should clarify too is it's not just comic cells. There's actual paragraphs of text and then comic cells and comic cells and comic cells and then paragraphs of text and paragraphs of text. It's interchangeable. And because of that, I don't think you could separate the two. I don't think you should separate the two. They don't fill the story in the sense that she doesn't give you two paragraphs of text and then you have to read the comic to know the next thing that she's talking about and then continues with the text. The text is all one thing and the comics are kind of like reiterating the point, but in a humorous way. I think that's why it's so funny because she will say something that's funny in the text and then say the humor in the text went to the left. Well, when she does the visual component, she goes to the right. So you get like a double laugh on some things. Or something is like in the text, maybe it's humorous, but it's not laugh out loud funny. But then like the facial expression on the cartoon that accompanies it adds to that. And now it goes over the line and you're like, now I'm laughing out loud. Which is part of the reason that I'm kicking myself for not having read this book earlier because I need more of that kind of laughing in my life. So the premise of the first 18 pages, the part that I wanted to talk about here, she talks about finding or digging up essentially a time capsule from when she was 10 years old, I believe, and she's 27 when she's digging this up. And she's kind of, she's making fun of her younger self, not in a mean-spirited way, but like she's looking at the things that were written, the way they're written, the drawings and all this stuff. And it's funny because she's criticizing them as an adult, using adult logic to criticize something a child did. Like, why is this arm on this person so long? Why does it take up a whole piece of butcher paper? That kind of thing. You know, like you're just exaggerating the criticism for the humor, and it's working so well. It works for me, at least. Maybe I just have that sense of humor. But one of the things that she talks about in here is this idea. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to read a couple portions of this. Below the German shepherds, I wrote the three most disturbing words in the entire letter. Three words that revealed more about my tenuous grasp on reality than anything else I have uncovered about my childhood. There at the bottom of the letter, I had taken my crayon stub and used it to craft the following sentence. Please write back. Judging by the thick, purposeful lines in each letter, I was applying a truly impressive amount of pressure to the crayon. The sincerity of the request is unmistakable. When I asked my future self what my favorite dog is or whether my mom and dad were still alive, I actually expected to get answers. And apparently I still expected to be 10 years old when I got those answers. I'm almost definitely not a time traveler, but in case I am, I decided to write back. In fact, I decided to write letters to several iterations of my past self because I felt there were important things I could explain to myself or things I could warn myself about. And that's why I stopped reading. I was like, okay, that's an episode. That's something I need to share. I love that. Number one, then the humor part of it is so funny. The things that she says to her past self. And there's also something kind of profound about that. She talks about the idea of almost, you know, like there's things that I need to say to my past self. Almost like there's things that you have to make up. Or you want to make up with your past self. And I've always been fascinated by this idea of multiple selves, that there's not just one Chad inside my body, that there are many. And I don't mean in the sense of schizophrenia, but I mean somewhere in there, the six-year-old version of me is still in there. Somewhere in there, the 25-year-old me is still in there. Somewhere in there, the me that played football and had football mindset is still in there. Somewhere in there, the one who was obsessed with watching He-Man is in there. I don't think we evolve in a linear way. I think that those things break off and are stored. You know, like that person is just, that's preserved, but just under the surface. And I say that because we put ourselves in situations where those past versions of ourselves, they bubble to the surface. They don't bubble to the surface as part of who we are now. They bubble to the surface exactly as they were. The people at AA advise you not to consort with the people that you were when you were drinking. In other words, don't hang out with your bar buddies. This is what I'm told. I've never gone through the program myself. But the reason for this is it's too easy to slip back into old habits. But I think it's not old habits. It's too easy to slip back into old self. That put into the right situation with the right stimulus, that old self bubbles to the surface. And the current self sinks below the surface. If you were to take this exercise more seriously and write to your past self, you're trying to make peace between the multiple versions of yourself. And I mean versions in the sense of like software and novels. If you do a novel correctly, a manuscript correctly, you don't take version one and craft it into version two. You take version one and you copy it. And then you make your changes on the copy. And then when you go from two to three, you do the same thing so that every previous version exists. I'm talking a digital format, but I believe something like that was done with paper manuscripts as well. Had to be, right? Because once it was printed, it existed. Version one existed because it was printed. And the reason for that is so that if you need to go back, you know, you make a mistake, you changed a character and you're like, nope, I don't like this. What was this person like before? It's still there. And like with photo editing, we call this non-destructive photo editing. then I can change this to black and white, and this file is not going to permanently always be black and white. Underneath this black and white filter is still the information for the color. And I think that's how we progress as people. So what I thought maybe would be interesting is for me to write a couple short letters to past versions of myself. So here we go. Dear 4-year-old Chad, it's okay to be small because the girls like picking you up and giving you piggyback rides. Enjoy being fawned over. It won't last long. Oh, and by the way, blatantly picking your nose in front of others, it makes nobody friends, ever. Dear 11-year-old Chad, people will pick on you, but in 30 years, you won't remember their names, and you'll instead refer to them affectionately as the tall bastard, the fat bastard, and the big-eared bastard, which will make your real friends laugh every time. Dear 12-year-old Chad, that smell, that's you. Buy some deodorant. Oh, and shave your upper lip. Peach fuzz isn't a mustache. Welcome to puberty. Dear 18-year-old Chad, do the things you love and stop worrying about getting dates. The more interested you are in your curiosities and your passions, the more interesting you will become. And dear 24-year-old Chad, dude, drink less, write more.